We've gathered in your name, so we know you're in the midst. We know that you're here. And God, I just pray that every one of us would have a welcoming heart. And God, that we would say, here I am, Lord. I've come to worship you. I've come to bless you. I've come to receive from you. I've come to draw near. Lord, your word's clear that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Hallelujah. So we're drawn near. And we know that you'll draw near to us. Thanks, Lord. We entrust you with our lives. May every one of us embrace the power of your spirit to experience all that you have for us today, we pray. Are you willing to do that? Embrace the power of the spirit today? Yeah, that's how we prayed last night, that you would embrace the power of the spirit and understand that. Come on, just put your hands out in front of you or straight up or however, whatever you're comfortable with, and just simply say, Lord, I'm here to embrace your power. Lord, I'm here to embrace your power. I'm here to embrace your presence. Do what you want in me so you can do what you want through me. Thanks, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You didn't come to sing songs. You came to worship. But we do sing songs to worship. So let's do it. Come on.
up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Yeah! just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. To break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. I speak Jesus.
Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you so much, God. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you for the freedom from sin and from death. Thank you for freedom from the grave. Freedom from our past mistakes and who we were. And thank you for truly giving us a new name, giving us a new destiny, giving us a new purpose, showing us what real life is. We're worshiping, and the scripture came to my mind, and it says that the real life or true life is hidden in Christ, in God. I praise God that we know what real life is. We know what true life is. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, the only begotten. Hallelujah. God, we ask that you'd help us to share your Son, Jesus, with all of those that are around us. Our mothers and fathers, our sisters and brothers, our cousins, our coworkers, those that are strangers to us, but we see them and we just have compassion on them. Help us to share your Son Jesus with everyone around us so that everyone in this city would know your power, your love. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, God, so we don't do it in our own strength, but by your spirit and your power. So we don't lean on our wisdom, but we just lean on your spirit, your love. Help us, God, so we would fulfill your commission. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. Welcome to Seaport Community Church. My name is Rolando. We welcome all of you that are here in person. We welcome all of you that are joining us online. And we want to honor you guys quickly. We do so by giving you a round of applause. It's a blessing that you're here for us, and you'll see for you as well. But we also want to get connected with all of our guests, all of our visitors. And you can get connected in a few different ways. One of the ways is to text WELCOME to the number up on the screen. You'll get a text back. Follow that link. You can get connected. You can also get connected with all our different social media platforms. So there's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. You can get connected that way. And lastly, we have a QR code on the back of every seat, or nearly every seat. You should be able to point your camera at it, and a link will pop up. You just click that, you follow that, and you can get connected through our Church Center app. It's got everything that the church does right on there, where you can sign up, get more details, and get connected in our different groups and whatnot. So please get connected. It's not just about the Sunday morning, but it's about really investing in one another and seeing God's kingdom grow. Here's Chris.
Thanks, Rolando. And we have some awesome opportunities. So you're going to make sure that you need the Church Center app to sign up for a lot of these things. This Wednesday, Pastor Brad's going to be bringing us the message with Satan, Demons, and You. So it sounds like it's going to be an interesting one, and I wouldn't want to miss it. And Adam is also leading a study in Hebrews. We have prayer around the week here. We have a weekly prayer schedule. Man, I just want to encourage you to really step into one of our prayer meetings. There is power in prayer. If you're a man and you'd like to be part of our stretched men's group, it's happening this Tuesday. And then, hey, this is a huge place and it needs a lot of work to keep it up and to keep it going and to just have routine maintenance and get ready for the springtime. And there is a spring work day coming around, but we're going to do this one a little bit different. We're going to be sending around a clipboard to sign up. Pastor Brad has the clipboard and he's going to send around the clipboard, right? So as that goes by, make sure you put your name down, because it does take a lot of work to get everything going around here. And then, hey, the Rangers are having their spring camp trip. That's on the 28th. And then Engage is happening on Sunday the 30th. So if you don't know where God has designed you to serve, you're not really sure what your purpose is here, then make sure you join us for Engage so that we can walk through that. And then, you know, one that's near and dear to my heart, April is the month of the military child. So any of the military people that are in here, hey, I get that you have kids and that being away from home is a really hard thing for most of the military kids. And so we're going to honor them with a special recognition on April 30th. And usually we wear purple on that day. And then, hey, if you want to, you know, learn the best way to, like, have family, friendly, fun, but also, hey, make sure that we're, you know, feeding our kids the right way, bringing them up in the right way, then Sherry is going to be leading us through a class that starts on Mondays in May. And then now we have a very special video introducing a brand new ladies' Bible study from Stacy. So take a look up here.
Good morning, Seaport Community Church. My name is Stacy Gonzalez. For those of you who do not know me, I am here to talk to all the ladies of Seaport. Ladies, we have an opportunity for another women's Bible study starting this week. We are going to be doing an 8-week study on the book of Philippians. You will not need any material at all. Seaport Community Church has printed all of our Bible study resources. All you need to do is sign up on the app, and then you can go to the Welcome Center when the service is over today and pick up your free study guide. Monday night, 7 p.m. on Zoom, Julie Deline will once again be leading the study. In person here at Seaport, it starts this Thursday at 10 a.m. We are going to be using the book of Philippians, and we're going to be using a Right Now Media resource, a Bible study guide by Joe Saxton. What we're going to be talking about is topics such as joyfulness, prayerfulness, perseverance, all things that if you read the book of Philippians, you understand the very difficult spot Paul was in, and yet he remained all of those things, joyful, peaceful, content. And so we're going to be studying those together as a group to see how we can do those as well. If you have any questions, you can come find me. I'm in the nursery today. Julie Deline, I think she's in service today. If you see her, please run over. She'll answer any of your questions. Please sign up. Join us if you've never joined us. If you can't make it all 8 weeks, it's okay. You come when you need to come. And if you can't come, you don't come. And you can flip-flop between the two. If you can't make it one day in person, you can follow up on Zoom. That is not a problem. We hope to see you ladies there. Have a wonderful day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Lots of great opportunities out there. So make sure you're signing up for that, and then you can get the materials at the Information Center. So next up, we have Gifty and Julie. They're going to talk to us about a ladies' tea party. I'm not really sure what that's all about, but. Thank you.
This is a delightful day for tea. Saturday, May 6th. Isn't it, darling?
Yes, it is. I am very much looking forward to it.
We will have a pot of tea served in china teapots.
And we will serve scones and quiche from tiered trays.
Don't forget the lovely finger dessert and cucumber sandwiches. Mm-hmm. There will be a plethora of dainty bites for everybody.
Want to know why I'm going to the tea? MPAC's annual theme is Wonderful, Wild and Wonderful God We Serve. The MPAC girls are raising money to provide filters to Africa so that they can have clean drinking water. All the money that you donate for the tea will go to spreading the fantastic news that Jesus loves sub-Saharan Africa while giving them a way to stop drinking contaminated water.
What an important work. Seaport just helped Ghanaian children get access to health insurance. Mm-hmm. And now we can help African children God loves by another way. You know, the work is not done in Africa.
No, it's not. You may be asking, what shall you wear? You all look beautiful today as you are, but you can also choose to come dressed fancy or dressed in your best safari outfit.
And there will be prizes for the best safari and the best sea tea party outfit.
And if you're not up for getting dressed from head to toe, there's also going to be a hat decorating contest. So think of a wild and wonderful hat or something gorgeous that you want to wear. Come with your hat and there will be prizes awarded.
To be dodgy to tell you everything, but a fun part of the tea are the tables, which some lovely ladies have volunteered to decorate in a safari tea fashion.
The ladies are so creative. I cannot to see what they come up with.
This tea is open to all ladies, whether you are a little lady or a dame. Invite your friends and family for a fun outreach. Don't stay home. Everybody, please come and we'll be delighted to have you.
You know what to do. Sign up on the Church Center app.
Thank you.
I just want to take one extra minute. This today, marks 4 years that Dave and I have been coming to Seaport. I thank Melissa, and I thank her stepsister, Naomi, because Naomi is my bestie. She came up during my cancer treatments, and she needed to meet up with Melissa for a T-shirt. And she was staying at my house, and she's like, Dave, Julie, why don't you come with me to Seaport? And we did. And no turning back. It's been a rocky road. One of the things I wanted God to use me with, but with my health issues at times, I couldn't fully commit to certain things, but I am Brittany Bruno's sidekick in the Stars, and they're third to fifth grade girls, and I absolutely love them. We have a huge group this year from like 12 to 15 girls on a week, and in our table, it's a lot. This tea has been on my heart since before COVID, and I invite every single woman here to please come. You don't have to get dressed up. You don't have to, but if you want to, go ahead. We are going to be looking for volunteers, for baked goods, for setup, for cleanup, just help in decorating. Been working on this for months, and it's only 3 weeks away, and I'm starting to panic. So please pray that it goes off the way that we want it to go off. Little children can come. Invite a friend. Have it be an outreach. Let them see how happy and loving the women here at Seaport are, because I've experienced it myself firsthand, and it's time for us to share. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. And what an amazing testimony on the power of a personal invitation. Right? Here's a perfect opportunity for you to personally invite one of your friends to something and show them, and they can see the power of God working. It's not anything we're doing. It's the power of God. And so at this time, we're going to release all the youth with Rolando over to the fireplace room. If you're not sure, I'm sorry, the fellowship hall. If you're not sure where that is, it's just out the sanctuary and to the right. And then if you've never been to one of our newcomer receptions, Jess McGargle is going to be leading our newcomer reception. And hint, hint, there are cinnamon buns out there. So if you'd like to know more about the church, if you've never been to one of the newcomer receptions, I invite you to join Jessica right to the right here out in the fireplace room. Next up, Pastor Brad.
Amen. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, you can slip right on out. You can go that way across the hall, or you can go out around down the hallway. Love to have you there. I'll stop in briefly, too, and answer any questions that you might have about Seaport. But we're going to honor the Lord with our giving. You know, here's probably one of the most misquoted verses in the entire scripture, okay? And this is what it really says, Paul to Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Kind of a weird offering scripture, isn't it? Well, here's the thing. One of the reasons why we give is to help defeat that in our lives, right? It helps us to defeat the love of money, because when we give, we practice the releasing things and not being bound by the love of money and not putting our confidence in money and our ability, but we're entrusting the Lord to care for us and that not becoming this all-important priority. That's one of the reasons that we give. So it's for our spiritual health that we do that too. Thank you so much for being faithful to tithe and give offerings. It helps us make this place go. As I say so often, there isn't some foundation or some group standing behind the church to pay the bills. It's us. Amen? It's us that makes it go financially, and only us. So anyway, Lord, thank you for the privilege of giving. Thank you, Lord, that in this way we can help defeat, God, the love of money, God, that consuming force that can so grip us. God, we thank you, that God, that we can give and invest in something of eternal value called the church and all that is happening around here. God, be honored through our giving, we pray. Amen, friends. Amen. Thank you. So he was due to speak here a few weeks ago and couldn't because he was ill. It's that first time in 28 years, but we are excited today to have Evangelist Tony Sluzos with us today. Say that fast a few times. And Tony, why don't you come? Tony has spent a long time, he and family, living in Georgia, and the Lord moved him up here and used his daughter and son-in-law, who's on a boat here in Groton, and to help move them up. So they are strangers in a strange land.
Yes.
But why don't you welcome Evangelist Tony Slusas, your first time with us today. And blessings on you, Tony.
Praise God. Thank you for health, Lord. God is good. Amen? All the time. I told Pastor Brad a few days ago that I actually have two messages ready for Sunday. Two, not one. So I hope you've packed a snack to hold you over till dinner. It's the truth. I did have two messages, but the Lord, I believe, has narrowed it down to one, and I hope it's a blessing to you today. Let me ask you something. Before you came to Jesus Christ, think back years and years ago. Did you ever have people, and God forbid, even family, but people that thought of you or called you a lost cause? How many lost causes? Right here? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm here to tell you today that there are no lost causes with Jesus, and that we all stand on level ground at the foot of the cross. We're going to look today at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. It's a very familiar story and a very powerful one. Yes, we're talking about lost causes. Actually, the title of my message today is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. You remember that old movie, Sidney Poitier? Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? Luke, beginning at verse 36. We'll go halfway through that passage and we'll stop and camp there for just a little bit. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. So Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and sat down for supper. There, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that Jesus was sitting for supper in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment and stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw it, he said to himself, "Ah, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman she is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." In order to grasp the gravity of the offense that we read of here, we need to understand a few things about Jewish customs and social mores in the Middle East back in Jesus' day. Beginning in early childhood, little girls were taught, they were trained proper etiquette. Back then, young girls were warned by their mothers about what happens to women who misbehaved. Those women were the type of women that other decent women would shun. These type of women were not welcome in proper society. And self-respecting men would disdain them. They had to hide during the day and then do whatever kind of work they did at nighttime. And even if they decided, "Hey, I really should get right with God," they really didn't have any avenue available open to them to do that. Once a woman, back then, was marked as being loose, immoral, a sinner, she was and always would be an outcast. Now, in our day, we're blessed to have pretty decent social services and programs to help women like this. They didn't back then. However, today I think we've romanticized the background of women who are down and out. You would have never found that kind of pathos surrounding immoral women back in Bible times. Today, think along the lines of, I'm not casting aspersions here, but think along the lines of Lindsay Lohan, the Kardashian sisters. The list goes on. Today, what do? We get online, get on social media. That's how we throw rocks at people like this or at politicians. Back then, they threw literal rocks. They could have stoned this woman to death. But we get online on Facebook, Twitter, hateful blogs, gossip columns. That's how we throw rocks today. You notice in this story that we're given the name of the Pharisee that invited Jesus to that dinner party. His name was Simon. However, the name of the woman who barges in, her name goes unrecorded. She's only known by her reputation, the immoral woman. Not only was this woman despised for her lifestyle, she evidently wasn't afraid of adding fuel to the fire. She entered Simon's house, just burst in, uninvited, unaccompanied. The nerve. How dare this woman? Who does she think she is? The men there would have murmured and mumbled. Who does she think she is? She's the very last person you'd want coming to a dinner party in the home of a religious leader, a holy man, a Pharisee. So here she comes. This picture of everything a woman should not be. She barges in, and she wasn't just crashing any dinner party. Oh, no. This was the party for Jesus Christ among religious leaders. She barges in, she bursts in, rebellious, promiscuous, foolish, and quite possibly diseased. And you know what I'm talking about. And what does she do? She threw herself down at the feet of Jesus Christ. Why didn't she just wait outside and grab Jesus out there? Why didn't she grab him beforehand or wait till this thing was over and talk to him afterwards outdoors? No. Why wasn't she afraid of what could have happened to her there? As we said, she could have been stoned. But her brazenness didn't end right there. Oh no, the indignities just kept multiplying. So out from under her soiled robes, she pulls out a box of a very expensive alabaster, an ointment. Everyone at that dinner party could easily surmise where she had gotten the money to buy that. And for what purposes she may have used it in the past. But now she fell down behind a reclining Jesus while Simon, the disciples, and all the guests watched and were mortified. She poured her precious perfume on Jesus' feet. Then she uncovered her hair. That's another religious no-no back then. She took down her hair and she used her hair as a towel to clean Jesus. The Bible says she wept so intensely that her tears made a bath for his calloused, dry feet. She, a prostitute, then kissed Jesus. She kissed his feet over and over and over again. And he welcomed it. she, the defiled one, was cleansing the undefiled one. We have to ask ourselves, what was she thinking? I mean, pulling an audacious thing like this, what was her hope? Where did she get the courage to do such a thing? Clearly, this woman had come to the end of herself. And like an addict hitting rock bottom, she had died to everything but her desperate desire for help. She came to the end of herself. How many here today have come to the end of yourself? You've come to the right place. We're going to put something up on the screen, and if there's nothing else that you remember I say today, remember this one line. That grace begins where pride ends. Remember that. Grace begins where pride ends. She ran to Jesus, and he did not turn her away. This scene offended those who witnessed it greatly, freaked them out. It didn't offend them because they were hyper-religious or prudish, though they probably were. Grace, loved ones, grace, the grace of God offends lots of religious people. I can tell you that after 28 years of full-time ministry. Grace does offend a lot of religious folk. I'll explain why in a moment. Grace is offensive to many. See, unlike any other kind of love there is, God's grace does not depend on my loveliness or yours. God's grace precedes our loveliness. We see grace mirrored in countless ways in our daily lives and relationships. And the gospel, though, is the only place where we find this kind of amazing grace in its pure, undefiled, unadulterated state. Jesus is its starting point. And yet we better never forget that's what got him crucified. Let your eyes of faith look at the scene that we're reading about here, because we're not done reading about it. Can't you just picture Jesus, this woman at his feet? Can't you just picture him leaning over, taking her face in his hands, and saying, "Daughter, your sins are forgiven." Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Wait, what? Come on. In response to Jesus' words, Simon, the Pharisee who invited Jesus, Simon and all his guests were completely blown away. Who is this man that he can forgive sins? Of course, at this point, Jesus was not interested in answering their questions. Right then, our Lord was binding himself to a woman who had been lost, but now is found. Please notice we have no record of her saying anything like, "Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I promise to live a reformed life from now on. I promise, I promise." There's no record of her saying anything at all. Nothing. All we have is a record of what she's doing, and that's kissing his feet, washing them with her tears and drying them with her hair. There were no promises to do better, no declarations to live a changed life, no resolutions signed, no promises to go on the mission field, no, nothing. Just tears. Hot tears and audacious love. Right now, you might be wondering whether Jesus forgave the woman because of something he saw in her. You may be wondering if it was maybe her display of love that procured her salvation rather than his outrageous grace. So in anticipation of this question, Luke 7:47 teaches us that forgiveness wasn't the result of her love, but rather the cause of it. It's what saves us too. Thank God. Although this whole episode was shocking, just unbelievably shocking to those in attendance, I'm guessing that Jesus' response to this woman doesn't offend us as much today, because after all, we do have the Bible and we can read all about Jesus from the Word, from the Gospels. So this probably doesn't shock us like it did them when it happened. Possibly we feel sorry for the woman. Or perhaps we're just used to Jesus' compassion for sinners. However, we're coming to the meat of the matter here. It's Christ's reaction to Simon the Pharisee that ought to give us pause. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yeah. There was more than one person at that dinner party who needed to be saved. We don't know why Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him. We don't know. We only know that Simon wasn't very welcoming to the Lord when he came. Refusing him to offer Jesus the customary gestures of cleansing water, a kiss, or anointing oil, Simon didn't do that. But like every other encounter Jesus had with the uninitiated, we know that Simon's life was about to be completely turned upside down. Inverted, shaken. What happened at the dinner party ended up demolishing everything Simon thought he knew about God. Simon assumed, of course, that if Jesus really knew who this woman was, then he wouldn't let her near him. Loved ones, Simon made an even more insidious assumption here. His assumption was this: she's different than me. She is a sinner, and I'm not. This is what we call Phariseeism. And loved ones, it's even in the church today. I've pastored 17 years. I've been on the road as an evangelist for about 11 or 12. I've seen Phariseeism. I know Pastor Brad and his wife have as well. It's dangerous. But loved ones, the miracle is that Jesus had great love for this self-righteous zealot. He loved Simon as much as he loved this poor woman. And Jesus was determined to save Simon too. Let's pick up the last half of this story in Luke 7:40 through 50. So Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he said, "Teacher, say it, say it." A creditor had two debtors. The one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they had no money to pay, he freely forgave them both. So tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose he whom he forgave more." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then Jesus turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, but you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I entered, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." But he who is forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Those who sat at dinner with him began to say to themselves, "Oh, wait, who is he who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this passage, we have three sentences, one question, and complete annihilation of religious attitudes. Because, loved ones, neither debtor, Simon, or this immoral woman was able to repay their debt. Neither one. Jesus is saying, "Simon, what you don't understand is that right now, this immoral woman is more righteous than you are. Because she loves, and you don't. Simon, you need to be more like her." Ooh. Once Jesus had begun, he wouldn't stop until Simon was completely undone. The Lord proceeded point by point through all of Simon's breaches of hospitality. He said, "You gave me no water for my feet. You gave me no kiss of greeting. You didn't anoint my head with oil." Simon hadn't been gracious with Jesus because Simon was enamored with his own self-righteousness. Be careful of that. There's nothing harder for you and me to wrap our brains around than the unconditional, unmerited, undeserved grace of God. We can't fathom grace. We don't understand it. We just receive it. And I hope we give it freely to others. As with Simon, God's love and grace upends our sense of fairness, of what's fair. And it offends our deepest instincts in the flesh as human beings. We insist that our reality operate according to the predictable economy of reward, punishment, reward, punishment, reward, punishment. That's the way we deal. That's the way we think. Especially when it comes to those who've done me wrong. Get them, God. Get them. Oh, God's going to get you for that. I hate that song. Remember that song years ago, "God's Gonna Get You for That"? I'm old enough to remember that. Ugh. Embalmed with unbelief. Loved ones, even those of us who have tasted the radical saving grace of God, we find it intuitively difficult not to put conditions on it. As I said, I've been in full-time ministry for 28 years. And I remember, God bless them, some elderly men. I'm elderly now, but back then I was younger. And I remember some elderly pastors, leaders in our denomination, who would tell us young guys, and they've told me personally over the years, "Now, son, I know God's grace is amazing. Praise God for his grace. But don't take it too far." How many of you heard that? Don't you take it too far? Greasy grace. Sloppy grace. Don't say those terms because you're walking right on the line of blaspheming. Ain't nothing cheap about grace. Nothing. It cost God everything. A wonderful minister by the name of Doug Wilson put it very well. I'm going to quote him here. And I quote, Doug Wilson, "Grace is wild. God's grace unsettles everything. God's grace overflows the banks. His grace is not tame. In fact, unless we are making the devout nervous, we are not preaching the grace of God as we ought." Remember the story of the prodigal son? Very quickly, we're not going to turn there. But the truth is, we all have just a little bit of the self-righteous older brother in us that's in the story of the prodigal son. Remember the older brother? He's the one who worked hard for his dad for many years. Never outwardly disrespected his dad, but he was incensed when his father welcomed back this wayward younger brother. Angry this older brother was. His reaction indicated that he had more in common with his prodigal younger brother than he realized, because neither of them really respected the father. When the elder brother saw the father welcoming this younger son back with open arms, a new robe, sandals for his feet, a ring for his finger, when he welcomed back the younger son, the elder brother was, he's just freaked out. He's saying, in essence, "You welcome back this little whoremongering decadent fool with a fatted calf? But you never even gave me and my friends a goat to party with?" His offense at the grace his brother received stranded the older brother out in the cold, away from the celebration inside, which is where the story leaves him. So it is often with us. Storms may be raging all around us. Our foundations may be quaking and shaken, but we would rather perish than give up our rights. I'm an American, bless God, I have rights. Really, loved ones, it all comes down to control. There's grace, and then there's control. It comes down to control. Many of us feel like we've got to maintain control of things here. I've got to. Nobody else will. Our foundations, again, may be shaking, but we would rather perish than give up our rights and give up our control. We've got to keep everything in order, bless God, because if I don't, then things are going to spin out of control and worlds will collide. What a faithless and hypocritical way to live. I'm going to go in a little different direction just before we close this morning. I grew up in a Roman, staunchly Roman Catholic Lithuanian family, very ethnic. My dad left home when I was 9 years old, and my little sister was 2. My mom loved Jesus with all of her heart. She had us in church 3 or 4 times a week for holy days of obligation, for masses, for this, for that. I thought at the age of 4 that God was calling me into the Catholic priesthood. Well, all that changed after my dad, who was a terrible alcoholic, decided he would desert us. And he divorced my mom, left us when I was a little kid. I became an angry little boy who turned into a very hateful and bitter young man over the years. We're coming back here to lost causes. I have family members who called me a lost cause. oh, Tony, look, he's going to end up dead or in prison or, you know, overdose. I'm going to skip ahead really fast here. I majored in theater at Wright State University in Dayton, Ohio, and I decided I was too good for them, so I packed up and moved to Los Angeles, California when I was a very young man. There I was going to find fame and fortune as an actor and a musician, and or a musician. I did a couple of tiny bit parts on shows like Three's Company and The Two of Us, and I did lots of live theater as an actor. But most of the time, I worked in restaurants. That was my real job. But I became so, over those years, I hated my dad so much. I had no contact with him. I called him a drunk, a philanderer, this and that. I called him much worse. But you know what, dear ones? If you let hatred take over you like that, you will become what you despise in someone else. I did. I did. Drugs, alcohol, debauchery. However, let me show you something here. I don't know if you'll be able to see this or not. This little card has been dragged through the mud, the crud, paint, things I don't even want to mention here, but this card has been dragged through it. It's filthy. It's dirty. It's disgusting. It's torn. It's frayed. This card represents my life before Jesus. And it represented your life, too, before Jesus. Now, let's just say that this Bible represents Jesus Christ. This is Tony. This is Jesus. Because Jesus is the living word. Amen? Amen. Okay. So this card was my life before I knew Jesus. It's dirty, stained, filthy. It contains hurts, lots of hurts that I caused, and scars inflicted on me. I was abused as a little kid in parochial school in the third grade, an entire year. That's the year my dad left. So I was full of seething anger, bitterness, and hatred. My life was a dirty mess. But that all changed in 1988. As I began watching Christian television, TBN, watching Praise the Lord program. Remember Paul and Jan Crouch? I used to watch them religiously, because as a Catholic guy, I had no frame of reference to this Pentecostal stuff. I thought y'all were crazy. I'm telling the truth. But I kept watching the Praise the Lord program, and I kept mocking and laughing and making fun. What's with this lady and her purple hair? I don't get it. But you know what? I couldn't turn the thing off. I couldn't turn it off. I kept coming back, and then there was one day in June of 1988 when Pastor E.V. Hill preached the sermon that forever changed me from the inside out. Pastor Hill made the cross real to me for the first time in my life. Yeah, I grew up Catholic. I wanted to be a priest as a little kid. I remember the crucifix, but I never had a revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified until E.V. Hill preached the sermon. It saved my soul. So on that day in 1988, I made Jesus Christ my personal Savior and Lord in my living room in Dayton, Ohio. I had moved back to Dayton from L.A. And now, loved ones, because I am in Christ, Christ. God no longer sees dirty, filthy, debauched Tony, but God sees me in Jesus, and he sees you in Jesus. There's room at the cross for you. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know. I assume, and they've always told me, never assume. Most people here are saved. Most people here know Jesus as Savior and Lord. But there might be a handful of you here that you feel like, oh, wait, something's stirring here. Tony, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. I don't know that God could accept me just this way. I'm a dirty, rotten, no good thing. Loved one, as I said earlier, the ground at the foot of the cross is all level, and we stand on level ground with each other. It's an old, old line, but if you sin and sin terribly, don't run from Jesus. Run to him. Run to him today. You're not here by dumb luck. You're not here by happenstance or circumstance. You are here, loved one, by divine appointment. And today, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is your appointed time. It's your appointed time. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There are others here who maybe have been convicted by maybe just a certain amount of Phariseeism in your own life. Judgmentalism in your own life and walk. You need to drop that today. You need to drop that at the foot of the cross. I want to ask Pastor Brad to come and the musicians, if they would, please. And I want to ask you to stand right now. And before I leave this platform, remember this from Sunday school? Sing it with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. If you're on the fence, don't leave this room until you've made things right with God. Open your heart to Jesus today. Your life will never be the same again.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Come on, let's sing this song. And right as we sing the song, our ministry team will come across the front and they'll pray with you about anything, you know, that you have need. Maybe you need to meet Jesus today. They'll help you. They'll help you make an invitation for Jesus to come into your life. Or maybe you need prayer for some other reason here. And they'll be here to pray with you for that. And I just trust that you'll respond today and receive. Amen. You came ready to worship and you came ready to receive, did you not? And so maybe you just saying, and please, there's no judgment here. If you're sitting there, standing there, and you're saying, I would like to come and have somebody pray for me, nobody's going to look at you and judge you. And if they do, let me know. I'll help them, okay? I'll help them. And the people up here aren't going to judge you. You know, just going to love you and pray with you. Amen? And just want to see you move forward. You know what? So we want to see you move forward. Hallelujah. And there's nobody perfect in the building. Nobody. Except Jesus. So that's it. Hallelujah. Lord, just help our hearts to be open and receive right now. God, these words that were spoken, God, they are spirit in their life. And maybe just embrace them now. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Ministry will come, and you can begin to come if you'd like to, but let's sing this song.
Narrow is the road. receive. I'll follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, I will give you every peace. I hear you call.
Just come and receive prayer. Make yourself available to the Lord.
Here I am with open hands, counting on your grace again. Less of me and more of you. I just want to see you.
Interrupt right here, sweetheart. Let me interrupt for just a second. We're going to continue to sing that song. In just a moment, our guest will be right here. And he asked me yesterday if it'd be all right if he prayed for some of you. So if you're here and you want him to pray for you, he'll do that, okay? But there's something else, and I agree. Maybe you're standing here this morning and simply saying, you know, I heard this, and I feel like I need to recommit this relationship of mine to Jesus. Maybe you were close and maybe you've fallen away or drawn back or allowed stuff to push you back, and you need to say, you know what? I got to press in. I need to recommit. And that's a good thing, isn't it? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You know? I do it often, to be honest with you. Oh, Lord. Okay. Because we're so prone to sliding away or stepping back or fear gripping us or stuff getting in the way. We all do it. But maybe today, if you're here and you say, I just need to step in, recommit, rededicate, and say, okay, all right. If that's you, without any big fanfare, just slip out of where you're at. Stand across the front. We'll continue to sing. And if you need prayer, you can go, Tony's just be right over there, right there at the corner. And people can, you need him to pray for you, he'll pray for you right over there. But if you need to respond, just simply say, today is my day of rededicating. Let's step in. Let's just step in. Let's not rush out of here. I mean, I don't know of anything more important that you're going to do right now. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, I don't know of anything more important than doing that. Let's just take a moment. We're not going to be a long time doing this, so move quickly. That's you. Let's sing this. Move as you need to. If you need prayer, any of these members will pray for you. If you need Tony to pray for you, he'll do that too. Let's sing this. Come on, we'll take another couple of minutes and I'm going to release us. Lord, we thank you today for meeting with us, challenging us, encouraging us, inspiring us, and helping us. Lord, we don't want to just walk out the door and as we're leave you here. But God, may we go with you. May you go with us. And may our light so shine before men that they see you in us and want to know you. Heal the broken places in our hearts and in our lives. Confront the rebellious places in our lives. Cut through the self-deception of sin in our lives. And may we step forward into all that you have for us. And God, this week, may somebody hear the truth, the loving truth of the gospel from our lips to their hearts. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. Amen. See you Wednesday night. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. You need prayer? Come on and receive it. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday afternoon and a great start to the week. Bless you. Thank you.
sacrifice. Use me how you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart. I hear you call. I say.